With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
And welcome to another exciting installment of In Soccer We Trust. This is the recap of Mexico versus the United States in World Cup qualifying. I'm one of your favorite former U.S. men's national team players, Jimmy Conrad. I'm alongside, usually I call him Hollywood Heath Pierce. He looks like a hostage right now. Hostage Heath Pierce. Good to see you, Heath. Now, I just have to state for the record, 0-0 is the end result. And I actually feel pretty good about it. Give me your quick summary of how you're feeling, and then we'll really dive into the recap with teeth. We'll get into the meat of all of this. But give me how you're feeling. And where were you, by the way? Because it seemed like you're having fun.
I'm here in L.A., as we talked about. We had the Paramount Plus watch parties in L.A., Kansas City, New York. And I was at the L.A. one, and it was popping off. We had both Mexico fans, U.S. fans. We had two floors. It was a really good time, which is why if I look like a hostage, it's because
oh no, did we lose Heath Pierce? Look at him. If you guys are watching this on the YouTubes, Heath Pierce, that might be the best photo I've ever seen of him. And if you're just listening to this on audio, oh, he's back. No, there he is. Heath, we got you there?
Yeah, I just saw the thing spinning out. Sorry about that. I don't know what that was either. Yeah, can you hear me? Yeah,
I'm can back. Hear you. So you told us about all your great floors and how you're having this amazing party, making us feel like we're missing out. But keep going.
Yeah, and now I'm just tired, you know. And hope that the U.S. would have won that one. But a point is always what you want when you go to Azteca. Take the context of what 3 points would have meant, how much closer that meant to a World Cup. I think we're still well on the way, Jimmy. I don't know what your initial thoughts are.
Yeah, I mean, we still obviously have some work to do. We're going to get into that really quick. But before we do, I just want to say, if you're new here, welcome to In Soccer We Trust. We're delighted to have you. Now, if you've been here before, you know the drill. We want to make sure that if you're watching on YouTube, hit like and subscribe. If you're listening to the podcast in audio form, make sure that you hit subscribe and leave us a glowing review about how much you love this podcast so we can keep it coming for everybody. So again, turn on your notification bells, whatever you have to do to make sure you do not miss an episode. That would go a long way towards helping us grow. Also, for those of you listening to the audio, please make sure to follow In Soccer We Trust on whatever podcast you like to get it. And then make sure you hit us up on Twitter, ISWTPod, so you don't miss anything there as well. We're everywhere, baby. We want to make sure that you're everywhere with us. Also, before we get into the recap, we have a winner to announce. So to catch up everybody that don't know, on Monday's preview show, we gave viewers the chance to win $100 Paramount Plus subscription. Now, there can only be one lucky winner, and that person is, and I've got my drum right here, it's Rody Villacorta. So congratulations, Rody. Producer Des has already contacted you with the details on how to redeem your prize. So enjoy one of the biggest catalogs on live and on-demand content known to mankind. We got World Cup qualifiers, Champions League, Serie A, NWSL, NFL movies, whole bunch of series. You know the deal. I mean, it's worth what you're getting in that $100 gift card. So make sure you do it. Also, we have the new Halo series. That's a big, big, big deal. And then for those who didn't win, don't worry. We're going to be doing this again. So let's talk about what's happening tonight. We're going to give away another card, but we got to get to 500 likes on the YouTubes, everybody. And if you're listening to this in podcast form, make sure you join us for all of our live recaps on the YouTubes and come over and migrate over here so that you can be part of having a chance to win a $100 gift card. So we got to get to 500 likes to make that happen. One other important thing, Heath Pierce, people, you got to leave your @s. So at your Instagram handle, your Twitter handle, make sure you put that in the chat so we know who to offer it up to. So producer does, or producer Alex knows who to pick. Okay. And then we're going to announce the winner as we do at some point in another podcast, which I think will be tomorrow for our preview, USA versus Panama. So make sure you drop your handles in the chat so that we know. We got to get to 500 likes though. So go tell your friends.
Hey,
to make it happen.
Hey, Jimmy, can I just say something real quick to our audience because they've been waiting patiently. I apologize for us starting late because, again, we had this watch party here. It was crazy. We had to get people out of the space. I had to be able to dial in. I had to figure it all out. And it's not a lot of little things, you know. You would think that it's just like, you know, getting onto your camera. But I got the 4K camera. I got some decent lighting right now. I got a crazy, crazy curtain in the background. So I apologize for being late, but I promise you it's going to be a fun conversation. We appreciate all of you waiting around. I just wanted to point that out. And now go like the video so we can get start giving away stuff. I like giving away stuff. I like being,
we do. We want to give away stuff.
Paramount Plus Claws.
We yes, yes. We want to take care of the people that are taking care of us. Mm-hmm. So just hit 500 likes. That's what we have to do. We should be able to get that tonight. And then make sure you drop your handles in the chat so we know who to potentially put your name in the raffle is what we have to do. All right, so let's talk about this game. 0-0. Zach says right from the top, honestly, a bit devastated that the U.S. men's national team didn't get a historic 3 points tonight. It was 100% there. Someone's got to put away those two clear-cut chances. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm going to say on the heels of what Zach just said. We had a game plan, and I thought we stuck to it. I thought that we were proactive. I was a little bit fearful because not only the U.S., but other teams, anytime you travel to Azteca, you know you're in for a battle. It's going to be a grind for a lot of different reasons. And it's natural when you're a team, when another team has possession, to just sit back and absorb. We didn't do that tonight. I thought we played a really good, smart, high line. Not too high, but not too deep either. I thought we were in a really good spot. So shout out to our center backs for maintaining that good line and making sure the space in between the lines was good. That was important. Another thing that I noticed in the first half, we started to tail off a little bit in the second half. I want your thoughts on this too, Heath. But what I liked in the first half was we never allowed Mexico to establish their flow. They never got into a rhythm. The game was really choppy. And the longer I watched the first half, I'm like, I love that. It might not look great for us, but we're not down there to necessarily get into a rhythm and get into a flow. We just don't want Mexico to establish theirs. And not only that, I thought we were better in transition. And it helped because when we were higher up the field due to our good high line, we won the ball higher up, and that led to Christian Pulisic's good chance. When we get into a good spot, Pepe drops into midfield. Timo Weah did an excellent job of getting in advance of the ball, and then Pulisic's got to score there. He's got to score there. There's no other thing about it. But if you would have told Greg Berhalter, or if you would have told us, hey, listen, you could go down to Azteca, you're going to get a clean sheet, and you're going to get two amazing chances to win the game, would you take it? You say, absolutely, I'll take that. And that's what we did, and we only ended up with a draw. But I think at the end of the day, we executed our game plan as close to perfect as we could for the most part. I thought the subs were really good by Greg, too. I thought he pushed all the right buttons. And, you know, we're going to be missing a few players that we can talk about a little bit later. But those are my initial thoughts. We never allowed Mexico to establish a rhythm. Thankfully, Chucky Lozano didn't have his shooting boots on today. But we didn't either, so I guess it all balanced out. But that's kind of what I really liked about the team was we didn't sit back. We weren't too reactive. And anytime we gave up some chances, it felt like we gave up chances that we caused by ourselves, like a bad touch or a casual pass or whatever it may be.
Do you feel at all, though, that like maybe we should be, I don't know, looking at this through a different lens of should we be expecting more against this Mexico team? I understand that we did a good job of not allowing them to establish a rhythm and things like that, but is this a Mexico team that can establish a rhythm? I just haven't really seen, like, I almost have this picture of Mexico in my mind from a different period, because if you go back to just after Nations League, they really haven't been that rhythmic of a team for a long periods, right? In the same way that we talked about the U.S., the U.S. haven't really dominated many games in this World Cup qualifying campaign. Not to say that we ever did, but at least at home games we did. And in many cases, controlled the flow from start to finish. You go back to that Jamaica game, pretty convincing. Second half against Honduras away, pretty convincing. But this Mexico side haven't really been convincing for long periods. And I wonder, you know, while I like the idea, I'll take a draw if you gave it to me before the game started. While I like the way in which the team approached it tactically, I still wonder if maybe there was 3 points out there. When I look at those two clear-cut chances with PFOX, and again, PFOX, one of those ones where I've like, I've just been wanting him to have these chances. Similar to Ricardo Pepi, where you just go, man, I want them to do well. And when they get their opportunity, they don't finish those chances. You go, man, it's coming back to haunt all of us. Now Greg gets justified in the fact that he hasn't brought him in, or maybe he's not a clutch goal scorer in these big moments like that. But go back to Christian Pulisic. He should have been able to finish that as well.
Yeah.
He had two very clear chances to be able to put them away. Granted, Mexico had some half chances here and there, and they had some angles that they could have created something, rebounds, opportunities from that they didn't capitalize on as well. But overall, if you go into this today and you don't look at all the other circumstances, a point still keeps us in position. Again, we're going to talk about Costa Rica and those types of things, that how that actually starts to play out with everything, because things are still complicated. But a point, I'll take it, man, away from home. But again,
yeah,
you know, the last part I'd say to that, Jimmy, is, you know, it wasn't a noon kickoff. It wasn't in the middle of summer. It wasn't a full capacity. We had a number of factors including the fact that Mexico aren't the same Mexico that we've seen in the past, that I feel like maybe this would have been the time to get 3 points. Obviously it didn't happen, but we did have a couple chances that you could have at least gotten a goal lead and tried to keep that at some point.
Yeah, what I'll say about your initial thought on this Mexico team, and are they good, or are they like previous iterations of Mexico that would control more of the game? That's a good point. When you look at their front three, though, you got Raul Jimenez, who, when he's on his day, plays well for not only his country, but for his club. You have Chucky Lozano, who I thought was actually quite dangerous tonight and was busy and touched the ball a lot and did take a lot of shots.
Yeah, much more Napoli-like in the way that he's sort of just driving all over the place and the way that we originally knew him as.
Yeah, I thought he was very good and bright tonight, just couldn't hit the back of the net. Mm-hmm. And then you have Tecatito, who has been playing for Sevilla. I mean, he's playing for big clubs, Porto, Sevilla. I mean, he's a good player. And maybe it was because they went with a little bit more of a defense-minded midfield, very similar to us. We went with Acosta and Adams, but they went with Herrera and Alvarez. And those guys usually sit and they do the dirty work and they're hard to play against and they break up passing lanes. We don't establish a rhythm or don't allow you to establish a rhythm. And maybe they lacked a little bit more of that connective tissue, as you like to say, with a Guardado. Now, Guardado, I think, is a little bit older and longer in the tooth and probably they should be moving past Guardado a little bit, but maybe they missed that little bit of a link-up player to help them transition. But it seemed like the chess that was being played by Tata Martino and Greg Berhalter somewhat canceled each other out. Now, Dan Kane, what's up, Dan Kane? Longtime follower since we started this. He says, what was the game plan exactly? For me, the part of the game plan was to make sure we didn't sit back and absorb, make sure our line was nice and high. We did that. And I thought we did that pretty consistently. I thought that we...
Jimmy, how about you start with a little bit of difference between a game plan and like the tactical approach to a game plan? So like...
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
I think for Dan, it could be good to talk about the difference between, you know, not sitting back and allowing them, but also, you know, the patience or the discipline that comes with some of those things as well that kind of sound contradictory, but they're not. And I would love for you to just sort of, you know, again, kind of talk about it's like the idea of like formation versus system of play.
Sure. No, it's well, yeah, you're right. What I'll say when I say that we don't want to I don't want us to sit on the top of the box, and because ultimately you concede a lot of space and you concede a lot of real estate. And when you have or you give another team a lot of space, especially a team that likes to possess the ball, you allow them to control the rhythm of the game. Mm-hmm. And for me, if I'm Greg Berhalter, we don't want there's two reasons why you don't want Mexico to establish that. One, because they're good at it and because they have players that are kind of grown up in that system and have that DNA and that's the way they want to play. And if you can not, if you make them uncomfortable, that's fantastic. The second thing is if you're playing at Azteca, you do not want the crowd to start giving you the ole. You want to kill the crowd and get them out of it as soon as possible. And even though it was at half capacity or less than that, that's part of the game plan. It might not be a very pleasing game plan to you or whatever it may be. And it's just, that's part of it. And I'm speaking from a defensive perspective. Another thing is the spacing between the lines. You can't have, if you press a high line, it doesn't mean you can have your midfield collapsed on top of you. That's not going to solve any problems either. So that space between the lines has got to be 10 or 15 yards. And I thought we did that pretty well. I mean, these are the little things that I'm looking at. Also, how are we pressing the ball? Where are we pressing the ball? And we were higher up the field. And I really appreciated it. I thought the starting lineup was going for it, right? We put out our best team.
Yeah. And you didn't like that. You liked the Ricardo Pepi. You think that's the best team at the moment?
Well, that's what I wanted to get into. I thought it was pretty bold to bring in Ricardo Pepi, but I wanted a player that looked to combine more than Jordan Pifok. Pifok was the default choice because of his form. But I actually thought Jesus Ferreira was going to start because he was just in a little bit better form in terms of scoring coming off a hat-trick.
Yeah, and you don't know what you're talking about, Jimmy. You don't know what you're talking about.
but with Ricardo Pepi, I could see why he was brought in. And I thought for 60 minutes, okay, he if you would have given him that PFOC chance, I think he scores. But I don't know. Maybe his confidence isn't high enough to take it. But I would say that when he dropped in to play that ball off the team away to ultimately set up Christian Pulisic, that's exactly where Pepe's at his best. And that's where something, I don't know if Pifok has that consistently in his game. Can he do it on the odd occasion? Of course, but Pepe's looking for it. And I thought we were looking for him a little bit. And what I really like too, here's another game plan one. I know you want to get into it a little in a different angle, but on that play where Pepe steps into it, what happens is, and I thought there was something that was talked about because I thought we identified that pocket in front of the back four because Herrera and Alvarez are pretty aggressive. And if you can get them sucked in as defensive midfielders out to a certain side, there is a place where you can hit a big switch and free. Anthony Robinson got free a couple times on the left side, which led to Yunus Musah getting a chance. Mm-hmm. There's these other opportunities. So there's a little bit of this, hey, if we can get these guys to get to take the bait, that'll open up pockets of space. That'll be right in front of the back four. And it'll also be with a quick switch to the point of attack. And we did it a couple times, maybe not as consistently as I'd like, but I still feel like it allowed us to dictate the game a little bit.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think you know, uniquely when you think about that up, back, and through type of mentality, I still think we're at a point with this national team that even though we have players playing at big clubs and a style of plays that are more attractive than necessarily what the national team plays at, I like when we are direct. I like when we win the ball in good spots up the field. And if you go back again to Nations League, where we were in trouble, like you said, is we were trying to absorb pressure for long periods, right? And they just run us side to side, and creating chance after chance after chance. And we just kept getting pinned back further and further. Having said that, we ended up winning the Nations League, as everybody knows. But when I think about this team, I think about the style in which we play, trying to not absorb pressure all the time. Take a few more risks, be higher up the field. And again, going back to the Nations League, we didn't start playing even okay until we started skipping. Like you said, that aggressive mentality of the central midfielders of Mexico kind of trying to half press you or kind of bait you into playing short balls. You're able to skip them. And now all of a sudden you found yourself a space. You're facing the field. You're able to attack one-on-one. You find them exposed. You're even almost in advantageous situations numbers-wise. And so I like that. And again, I don't want to – I know I teed up before about Azteca being half capacity, Mexico not being the same, it being a nighttime kickoff, it being in March. I don't want to take away the fact that you're still playing at altitude, you're still playing in front of a hostile crowd, you're still playing very far from home. And so overall, I think it was a really solid game plan in terms of, one, not exposing yourself too much. Two, not exposing yourself too much doesn't mean that you sit back and bunker in two blocks, right? And I think that's what I was trying to get to earlier is, you know, not exposing yourself. A game plan or discipline doesn't mean sitting in on top of each other and just never, you know, it's not like a chess match in terms of never exposing anything. You know, you still have to take your chances. Fullbacks still have to go forward. You still have to have your midfielders attack from time to time. And I thought they did that, especially in the first half.
Well, when you speak about discipline, I think about Anthony Robinson because we've talked about him before, maybe taking some unnecessary risks. We've seen him before when Serginho Dest is bombing forward. Well, Anthony Robinson is bombing forward, and maybe we don't have that balance if we get hit on the counter. But I thought that Anthony Robinson, I thought, was very disciplined tonight. Yedlin, I thought, was picking his spots as to when to go forward and when to come back. And
you think Yedlin was the right choice, by the way, in terms of selection?
I do. Yeah. I do. Yeah, because of the experience that he had already this last year. Sure, playing for Inter Miami is probably not going to make anybody too excited and not a very good team. But he's still getting minutes. He's still playing.
But in any circumstance, would you put Chucky against Yedlin or Cannon? Like, would you put do you like that matchup generally? Because it still looks like, you know, DeAndre Yedlin's best part was his pace, and he doesn't have that same pace. I think before, even defensively, he's never really had that defensive pace. He has that recovery pace and that makeup speed, but like,
right?
You know, there was a couple times that seemed a little bit vulnerable or dangerous. Like anybody, as you're playing against, you know, one of the better attackers in the world, in Chucky Lozano. And Tagatito when he had to at times.
Well, you know what I really liked about Yedlin, and this gets back to the discipline piece of our conversation, was that he made this header at the back post, and Walker Zimmerman ended up clearing it out. But there were times in Yedlin's career where he kind of spaces out when the ball goes wide on the other side, and he's not locked in. And I love that it was a very brave header. He put himself in between two guys. He didn't try to get this clear-cut header. He just tried to get something on it. And thankfully, it fell to Walker Zimmerman, who cleared it out. But I remember thinking, yes, that's exactly what you need in those types of games when it's tough and maybe things aren't going exactly the way that we want. We just have to fight and scrap and just get around the ball. Yeah. And I love that I saw that from Yedlin tonight.
Can I jump in real quick? Dan Kane attacked me real quick, and so I need to attack back.
Fight
back. I actually really like DeAndre Yedlin. He said that I don't like DeAndre Yedlin. I like him. It's just that I know DeAndre Yedlin is good for maybe a bad turnover a game or being turned off for a moment a game. And against Mexico, that makes me nervous. Now, I like DeAndre Yedlin because he's always had that speed that's excused him of those things, that ability to make that big play, to come back, to put out a fire, those types of things. Mm-hmm. And I still like him more than Reggie Cannon. I like Reggie Cannon because he can scrap as well. But yeah, I mean, it's just there's just something about DeAndre Yedlin's game. And maybe you feel the same, maybe you don't, Jimmy, where I just don't always feel like I trust him. And by the way, going back to my projected lineups, I had DeAndre Yedlin in the team.
You only missed one. No, I only had two. Aaron Long and Jordan Pefok.
Yeah. And Charlie was talking about in the preview was talking about I'm blanking on his name now. I just said it like three times. No, right back. Reggie Cannon. Oh, he won Reggie Cannon there. And talked about the way that he had matched up against how he could match up against Mexico, you know, his ability to be more defensive, things like that. And he was almost talking me into it a little bit, because I think about Yedlin, and sometimes with Yedlin, I think about the moments where he shuts off. Because Yedlin was always fast enough to be able to solve problems, right? And at the international game, it doesn't always work. And he was the option for a long time. But I didn't think that he played necessarily poorly. I know Derek's saying right now he had a rough game, but it's a tough position to be in. Like, when you're, I was a left fullback, and I had to match up sometimes against the best player on the field, right? As a winger. And Jimmy, you had to do it against strikers. And there's some days that you know that you're outmatched, or you're playing against a player that if they get their first touch right, or if they're having an on game like Chucky Lozano is, you have some of the best defenders in the world that play against Chucky Lozano weekly that get burned alive, you know, skinned up by him on a regular basis, whether he goes inside, outside, that type of thing. Chucky Lozano is a high quality player. So it was always going to be a difficult night for Yedlin in terms of him showing himself other than being what we would call a lockdown defender. So right. I think he did his job. The U.S. got out of that without him scoring. Yeah, he had a couple looks on frame, but none of them were like clear. He had to cut back on his right foot. He had another one on the right side, but
Stefan made a good save, save on him, but that was on the other side of the field. It wasn't on Yedlin's side. So now we have, let's keep this going about Yedlin. He gets a yellow, so he misses Panama.
That was a stupid yellow, and that could have been a red, by the way. There was definitely, think about the hostility in that moment.
Yeah.
And you think about, you go back to VAR, you take a look at that. He had a leg up. When the more they showed it, the more I was like, oh, that's bad. And I was just like, man, like a little bit of that. It's not immaturity because he's mature. It's just one of those disappointment type of things. But anyways, keep going.
No, but he's out now. And Reggie Cannon is not assured that he's going to play or be available. So they have just called in Shaq Moore. So Joe Scally's not getting called back in. U.S. Soccer has announced, Greg Berhalter has announced that Shaq Moore is going to be coming in to right back. Imagine being Shaq Moore, not even being in, and then you might be starting in maybe our biggest game in many years to try to help us qualify for a World Cup.
That's amazing, though, Jimmy. That's the story, right? Like, Shaq Moore doesn't look at it and go, I'm not good enough to be in the national team, so I'm not going to be there. He's going to be like, yeah, about time you called me in. And either he's going to channel that into being like chip on the shoulder, or he's not. But like, you know, I just think about the experience of these players that have gotten all this experience based on Greg Berhalter playing them and all the rotations that we've seen that we've complained about for months. And then you go, oh, well, they're only as good as the experience that they have. Like him coming in, stepping in this big moment. I hope he can deliver. But yeah, it's certainly, I mean, does that make you nervous?
No, it doesn't make me nervous. I think because of what you're saying, I thought when he played during the Gold Cup in particular, he scored, remember, like the first minute against Canada, he gets forward in a way that I really appreciate. I think where I would be not nervous, but just where I would maybe talk to him and say, you know, pick your spots, because right now, especially against Panama, we don't want to take any unnecessary risks. But if it presents itself and you can see a numerical advantage, trust your instincts. Go forward and trust your instincts. But also be cautious. And this is also goes to Anthony Robinson that if Shaq Moore goes forward, we need you to stay at home. And I was happy that Tyler Adams, speaking of yellow cards, didn't pick up a yellow when he made a tackle or two. I was like, dude, what are you doing? But
the instant helping somebody back up off the ground type of thing. Yeah, exactly. No, you know.
I'm like, don't do it. Yes, I go like ease up on the tackles. Let Kellen Acosta or somebody else get in there. But without Timo Weah in as well, he does provide something that we don't necessarily have. He gets in advance of the striker a lot. And obviously the best example of that is the cross he played across to Christian Pulisic that didn't get finished, unfortunately. We got Gio Reyna, who came in. And obviously when he came in and took on like eight guys at once, I was like, yeah, Gio Reyna's back, baby. Let's go.
I know.
And then nothing came out of it. But it was still refreshing to see him have that confidence and obviously the ability to weave and do that type of stuff. I think he'll start. But with him starting, I think we lack a little bit of width. He's not a guy that's going to get to an end line and cross it. So now we're kind of back to that same conundrum. Well, I don't think PFOC's going to start. So do you go with Pepe? I mean, how did you feel about Ricardo Pepe? Do you think Jesus Ferreira? I mean, we're going to get into our preview, our proper preview tomorrow. Everybody, we're going to have a stream. Make sure you're hanging out with us. Or if you want to get it on podcast form, that's fine as well. Mm-hmm. That'll be happening. If you want to watch it live with us here on YouTube, that'll be happening 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. But what were you thinking about Ricardo Pepe getting the start tonight? Because he wasn't your starter in your projected lineup.
He wasn't. I just And again, like, I just, it's one of those things where PFOC had his chance. I was like, bury that for me, please. You know, in the same way that I needed Ricardo Pepi to score against Honduras when I was endorsing him the way that I was. And he's now gone on this dry streak for months now that aren't good. But it's mostly because of, not only is he not scoring, but he's also not getting games. And I just thought, you know, I almost got caught up in my own sort of pragmatism of qualifying for the World Cup and forgot to think about, like, how much I like Ricardo Pepi as a player just on the field, right? How much of the dirty work he does, how he makes the pressing game predictable, how he spins out and is down to chase somebody behind the back line that you, oh, he just keeps defenses honest. And while he's not scoring right now, it's easy to poke. And I think we should be critical of the fact that he's not scoring goals. He's not getting a ton of chances, but he's not scoring goals. And so I think we should be critical of that. But I like him on the field. There's just something about his game that I think he finds a way to be impactful. And even if it's for 66 minutes or however many minutes he played, I just like...
Were you surprised? Were you surprised he started?
I was surprised, actually. But, you know, having... I'm surprised because of the fact that, like, he's not playing at all. Like, and he's not scoring at all. But...
I guess my assumption is you went PFOC. I bet you went Jesus Ferreira second and then Ricardo Pepi third and Pepi starts.
Yeah. Yeah, like I would have thought Ferreira. I mean, because based on form, right? We were so caught up in this, like, you play the best players that you need to get the results. And I still think that going away to Azteca, knowing that you need somebody that makes the game predictable, I still don't think that Gio Reyna would have been a good start in that one, even if he was probably 70-minute fit, just because, again, the pressing game, the things that you want to just, like you said, not just sit back and withstand pressure, but, like, actually try to take the game to Mexico a little bit. And so looking at it through that lens, obviously hindsight's always 20/20, as we know. I just like when he's on the field. I think he makes the national team better, even if he's not scoring goals. And I know that's a little bit hypocritical or a little bit of a whatever the word is. I'm not good with words, Jimmy.
As long as you're trying, I think that's all that matters.
I'm trying with the words, but yeah, I think he makes the team better no matter when he plays. I think I always look at it through this, like, constant, like, microscope of, like, is he gonna score, and that's frustrating for me because he's a striker and he should score, but I do like him on the field. I don't know, what's your take on that?
No, I agree with you. I like the link-up play, what he's looking for, how he approaches
ball. He's pretty smart.
He is. He's only going to get better in that department too, right? And once he starts to get his confidence in scoring, which it comes in bulk, right? We see it with strikers around the world that once they start to feel good about themselves and I don't know why I'm thinking Vinicius Jr., right? But Vinicius Jr., who's blowing up this year for Real Madrid and Brazil, but once he kind of got out of his own way is when he started to relax and just play, right? We say that so casually, like, it's not that, like, you flip a switch and get out of your own way, but it does take time. It's a skill you have to master. And Ricardo Pepi will get there, but I think he's in that space where I think he's trying too hard, right? You start to read a lot more about yourself. When he didn't have as much hype, then he scores the goals. Now there's expectations that weren't there, that didn't previously exist. And now I think he's trying to live up to what everybody wants and what he expects of himself. And it just gets all really tangled. That's the mental side of the game that we probably don't explore enough. But to speak about the mental side, as Derek said, PFOC was devastated after the game. He collapsed to the ground. I feel bad for him as well. This was his big opportunity to be the hero. He didn't take it. But I think what Greg has shown is if you continue to play well, you're going to get another chance. And I don't think Greg's going to back away from him now. So yes, as much as I'm devastated for him, he's going to get another chance to redeem himself. And hopefully he takes that chance, especially in a big moment for us, whether it's now or if it's in the World Cup when we really, really need it.
Do you think like PFOC had his chance? You know, do you think he lost that chance now? Like,
is he
still in year 23 for a World Cup if it were to happen today? Like,
if he's still scoring for his club team, and you know, obviously, what's interesting about this World Cup is we have a summer and 4 months of another season before we actually start this World Cup.
It's not interesting, Jimmy. It's great because we got a lot of guys not playing right now. We need the World Cup.
And it'll be interesting if any of our guys move to try to go to a new club prior to the World Cup. There's a lot of interesting choices. That's not isolated to our national team, but all the national teams out there. But before we get anywhere else, I want to remind everybody that we got to get to 500 likes. So hit that like button right now if you're watching this, because if we get to 500 likes, we are going to give away $100 gift card to Paramount Plus. And on Paramount Plus, not only do you get amazing movies and the new Halo series and all this other type of stuff, but you get Champions League, NWSL, Serie A, World Cup qualifiers, the Scottish Premiership, the Brazilian League, the Argentine League. It is unbelievable what you get And we're going to give that away to you. So make sure not only do you hit the like button, but leave your handle, your social media handle in the chat, Instagram, Twitter, whatever it is, so that we can pick you. That'll enter you.
Without the at, by the way, no, not the A. Don't put the A before your handle. Just give the name of it.
Okay, whatever you want to do. I don't.
Well, the A, they remove it if it's the A. They won't put it on.
I see. That's a pro tip there from Mr. Heath Pierce. We'll announce the winner of this tomorrow because we're going to have a big preview not only of our game, but we'll talk about everything else that's happening in CONCACAF looking ahead. Obviously, we're going to still recap tonight. That's going to happen tomorrow at 12 p.m. Pacific, high noon, as people like to say, and 3 p.m. Eastern. So we'll be going live again for you guys, and we'll announce the winner. Make sure you drop your handle, though, in the chat and hit that like button to make it happen. Also, I want to give a shout-out. I want to give a shout-out to Benji the Outlaw, okay? Because he said hello from Sacramento. I'm not too far from Sactown.
I grew up not too far from Sactown.
Heath grew up in Modesto, which is not too far from Sactown. So that just reminds me, Heath and I want to know, where is everybody watching this from? Let us know in the chat as well after you leave your handles. And we can get after that. I guess we don't need the 500 likes anymore. We got there. So just leave your handles in the chat. And okay, back into the conversation, though. With regard to PFOC, I don't think he's done. I don't think that that chance is going to, well, I don't know. I guess it could. I'm thinking about Chris Wondolowski. He misses one chance in his life, and that's the only thing people will remember him for, even if he's the leading scorer in MLS for the rest of time. Like, but he missed against Belgium when Thibaut Courtois was making himself big and charging out. It's so easy. How did he just tap it in? Now, PFOC could get there if we don't qualify for the World Cup. It'd be like, oh, my God, Jordan PFOC. Like, if we would have scored that, we would have qualified. But I think we're going to be good. I think he's going to get another opportunity. I'm not worried about him.
Yeah, I mean, I hate when a guy gets his opportunity and doesn't take it.
Yeah.
I mean, we hold Christian Pulisic to the same standard, but we don't. But when somebody's coming up into the team, you want them to. So, yeah, I mean, I hope he continues to get games. But it's one of those guys where you're like, is he better as a starter? Is he better off the bench? What's the spark? What's the thing that he brings? I want to see that, like, that spark. And I'm still curious what that is.
Yeah, I'm curious as well. All right, everybody, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about the other crazy results that happened in CONCACAF. And no, I don't have any time for Italy right now. I can't believe they crashed out of the World Cup. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bull & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bull & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
So let's talk about a result that ended up becoming incredibly huge and vital. And I wonder if Greg Berhalter and Tata Martino heard about it at halftime, because the game was final at halftime of the US-Mexico game. But Panama with a 1-0 lead against Honduras, who had shown throughout qualifying so far that once they give up the first goal, they pretty much capitulate and hand you the rest of the goals or hand you the victory. But they came back and fought back and got a 1-1 draw. Yeah. Panama drew 1-1. Which means they didn't gain any points. Panama went from being like the team to watch out for to now dropping to fifth, because Costa Rica beat Canada 1-0. So Costa Rica is now currently in fourth on 19 points. Panama's on 18 points, and us in Mexico have 22. Canada just needs 1 point to qualify for the World Cup for the first time since 1986. They couldn't get it done. They got a red card. That didn't help them. They're on 25. So 25, 22s for us in Mexico, 19 for Costa Rica, and 18 for Panama. It's all popping off. And Heath, this is what scares me a little bit, and you can get into any specific game of these that you want to talk to. If we beat Panama at home, we'll look at the table right now. If we beat Panama at home, that puts us on 25. Yep. Okay. If Costa Rica wins, that puts them on 22. If Mexico wins, they'll be on 25 as well. we could still get caught. Like if, because we play Costa Rica on the last game in Costa Rica. So we could technically get caught. We still have to get, we have to beat Panama. It's okay. Crazy. It's like, well, we needed to do that anyway, but still having to go to that last match day with something they earned in Costa Rica makes me a little bit nervous.
Yeah. This is where we need El Salvador to come through on this one for us. Because we need a little help from them in this next game. But the U.S., I mean, so Des, producer Des, can we throw that back up there again?
Let's look at the table.
It's just
we need more table time.
It's a little stressful, but we'll look at it. So you're saying right now, Costa Rica wins, they'd be on 22, right? And then if we won, we'd be on 25. I mean, yeah, this is a little hairy, isn't it?
It does. It gets a little hairy. It does, 100%. Yeah, look at math major Heath right now. So Canada plays Jamaica at home, and I feel like they sandbagged this one against Costa Rica so they could just qualify for the World Cup in front of their home fans. But that conversation for another time. Mm-hmm. Costa Rica goes to El Salvador.
I don't think Mark Anthony Kay thinks that right now.
Costa Rica goes to El Salvador. Now shout out to El Salvador and Hugo Perez. They drew with Jamaica 1-1. But they're not easy to play against at home, so we'll see how that one goes. I don't think it's going to be – like Ticos have only scored I think 9 goals in 13 games. So they're not like scoring at an incredible clip. And El Salvador could do us a solid, just like Honduras did us a solid. Shout out. Honduras is like my second favorite national team at the moment.
Yeah.
And then Mexico goes to play in San Pedro Sula against Honduras. And on paper, they should win that game. But we don't know which version of Honduras is going to show up. Yeah. It's still kind of all to play for. And Panama's got to play us in Orlando on Sunday. So,
yeah.
It's crazy.
We've been talking about this Panama game from the start, right? Mexico, yes. You're like, okay, less to control. Don't know what's going to happen. A lot up in the air. But when I talked to Anibal Godoy, for those that don't know, kind of a legendary midfielder for the Panamanian national team, plays in Nashville SC. He was talking about this Honduras game and how important it was for them to beat Honduras, right? For Panama's chances. They did not do that. We all agreed, like you and I have talked about this a lot. It's weird to say, but Honduras have been very poor and predictably poor, right? In the way that you go, well, they can't be that bad. They're going to find their way somewhere. And then now here we are like this many games into a World Cup qualifying up until, you know, this solid result against Panama and kind of playing spoilers with Panama. They have caved in almost every single game in the way that you expect to eventually go, well, at least play good defense. You know, you can't score goals, play good defense. Like, you know, all the things, like the little details that you can just be like, well, if we can do this right, we can be in a game. And they just haven't done that. And to see them figure that out now or stay in a game with Panama. Panama has really, really made this difficult for themselves now. And now they've brought Costa Rica back into this. Not to say that we wanted Panama to win because then it's even more complicated. So it actually plays out in a way that we won, at least in some way, shape, or form, that Panama's coming into this not with a great result. They've now got to travel to the U.S. U.S., we are far better than Panama is.
Right,
now,
if we
do all the things that we should do, we should be able to beat Panama. We're a better team. Not to say it's going to be easy. It's going to be a scrap. You're going to have to fight. You're going to have to earn it. I mean, that's no disrespect to Panama whatsoever. But they are vulnerable in a way that I think we can at least get that result. But again, like you said, there's still certain other results that are going to come down to potentially going to Costa Rica to need something or something not bad to happen. I'm not sure what the tiebreak is in terms of you know.
We'll get there. We'll get there on our preview. We'll save all the tiebreak stuff for our preview tomorrow, 12 p.m.
Oh, by the way, Jimmy.
Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, before you finish that thought, I know that you – I'm sorry about that. The Godoy interview is out, and you can go and watch that.
And you should.
Yeah.
Because you sat down and talked with him. Now, when I look at the stats, actually, of Panama-Honduras, Honduras got more shots and more shots on target than Panama, which I find to be incredibly impressive from Honduras because I didn't know if they were going to go with their tail between their legs at the – you know, and even try to punch – at all in these games, but it looks like they're going for it. And I have a lot of respect for that. So fair
play. By the way, we were laughing at Costa Rica. We were maybe borderline disrespectful when we were making fun of how old they were. And now they find themselves.
They're still in the hunt. They're right behind us, man. The 3 points behind us.
I was talking to Shaw Brown today on the phone, who is obviously one of the coordinated producers for CBS Sports HQ. And we were talking about the history of the U.S. having to go to Costa Rica. It is not a beautiful history of playing in Costa Rica. You do not want to leave.
We've never won there. World Cup qualifying.
To that. Like, it is notoriously hard to play, whether it's at National Stadium, at Saprissa, whatever it is. They come to life. They rise to that occasion.
we're going to run into some issue where Keylor Navas is going to stand on his head and make like five world-class saves and we won't score and all these kind of things. I think what we've learned at World Cup qualifying, and I think we have to relearn it every time because it takes, you know, it's every 4 years that we're going through this, but nothing's ever straightforward in qualifying. And you can just ask Italy how that's working out for them in terms of how things don't go the way that you want, even though you might have a better team on paper. And we saw that again tonight with Panama and Honduras. And then Canada had a great chance. All they needed was 1 point to qualify for the World Cup. They couldn't get it done against the Ticos. I still, though, when I think about the Ticos, only 9 goals that they've scored in now 12 games. That's not great, Heath Pierce. And they're going to need a little bit more than that, I think, if they're really going to solidify their position in the fourth spot. And whoever gets fourth, by the way, is going to play the winner of Oceania, which is New Zealand. That's what it's looking like. And that one-game playoff, it used to be a two-legged affair. Now it's a one-game playoff. It's going to be played in Qatar to decide over 90 minutes who's going to go to
We just saw this Italy thing happen today with North Macedonia. Like, there is not – you don't want to take anything to 90 minutes, because there's just so much – at stake. You're talking about a neutral venue that is, maybe for the European-based players, not that far to get to Qatar, maybe 6-7 hours from where most of them are. But for any MLS-based players, that's a 12 to 14 hour flight.
Yeah,
14 to 15 hour flight if you're on the West Coast. And so it is. You just don't want to leave things up to those types of things because. I hate to say this, but this is what they make movies on, right? A small little New Zealand team, this island nation comes in and beats this juggernaut of whoever it is, right?
Yeah,
not juggernaut, but whatever it is.
Yeah,
like, that's what the story is. It happens. It's possible. And you see somebody who was the height of what Italy have been in the last 4 years to go out in a 91st minute goal, you realize just how human it all is and how much room for error there is. So you don't want to leave it to that, but certainly could be worse. You could get a playoff against a South American team or someone in Asia or wherever it might be. It's not easy.
No. And I think it kind of speaks to a theme that we're seeing emerge tonight, at least through CONCACAF, that people just didn't take their chances. Teams didn't take their chances tonight. The U.S. didn't take their chances. Mexico. Remember when Tecatito had that opportunity really early on? He took a big touch and that went out of bounds.
Oh, man, what a bad touch.
There was a penalty kick.
You just don't expect that.
I thought maybe that they could have looked at between Raul Jimenez and Walker Zimmerman. You know, there's all these little things. And so teams didn't take their chances tonight. Panama couldn't extend their – I mean, we thought Panama was going to win. It would be really dicey right now if Panama had 21 points and we had 22 and Mexico had 22. But thankfully, Honduras, honestly – Honduras is like.
What is it? Does it really change though, to you, Jimmy? Like
it does,
the Panama
it does.
Thing, because like it's still a must win against Panama, no matter what.
It is. This is why I think it. Panama now has to go into that game having to win, mm-hmm. and not that they didn't have to before, but Panama could have been like, hey, we beat Honduras, we can draw with the U.S., and then we have, I don't even know who they. I can't remember who they have in the last game, but they have El Salvador. They play El Salvador last, or maybe that's hold on, let me see. Panama plays
against Canada.
Canada, that's right. But Canada, we'd assume, had already qualified. So what version of Canada was going to show up for that one? That was the big question. And so teams just didn't take their chances. But I think it does change because Panama now has to go for a win when they didn't have to before. And I think that's gonna force them, and I think it plays into our hands. We can hit them on the counter. Because they're going to have to extend themselves at some point. Now, maybe they take advantage of that extension.
Oh, it definitely plays in our hands. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
but
right.
But I meant more from the U.S. sake. Like and I guess that is the same answer. I appreciate you clarifying that. They've got the risk now. Panama has to take the risk now in a way that they could have been a little bit more. Their game plan could have been more patient and wait for the 1-2 chances, hope that they convert. But maybe a point does it or – a point and then get
it changes. It changes.
Yeah.
It changes the mentality.
Changes, yeah.
Also, let's just think about it. If it was 22 points and Panama had won today, we have a couple days now to think about, oh shit, they're going to catch us. You know, they're right on our heels. Like we're thinking about that. Now I think we can relax a little bit and the pressure's still there. We still have to win this game, but it just feels a little bit different. I think the advantage kind of came into our corner a little bit more. Now we have to go out there and, as somebody has said, I'm sure a couple people have already said so far in the comments, we still have to finish those chances. We're going to create them against Panama, but we have to finish them. And if we don't score that first goal, Heath Pierce, it could be a little dicey.
We had two very, very clear chances tonight against Mexico. Now, normally for Mexico, you get maybe something knocked down on the back post, you get a free kick, and the ball's bouncing around, and you go to like finish it off. I remember one of my dosiseros was exactly that. Ball bounces down, and then we had a red card with Rafa Marquez, and all kinds of, you know, a fumble type of goal. But they weren't clear cut chances that we scored. And I don't remember a lot of clear cut chances when you score against Mexico. We had clear cut chances tonight. I mean, look at the XG is 1.3. Like, that's pretty high. And if you look at the 0.4, just to put it in the context, like, Mexico actually had decent looks from tough angles. You know, Chucky again driving inside, Tecatito's touch too long, like in and around the goal frame. But the U.S. had two chances where, you know, one, you forced the goalkeeper to make a save, kind of a bad hit from Pulisic, a very bad hit from Pulisic, where he's usually kind of automatic from there. And then the PFOC one, that's another really solid look on frame. If you don't finish those against Panama, and maybe we get one or two more of those, it can get dicey.
It can get dicey. I mean, I think from a Greg Berhalter perspective, or any coach, your big concern is if we're not creating those chances. Mm-hmm. That's where you're like, I don't know, how are we going to solve this? But the fact that we put ourselves in a good spot and we executed at a level, and we created these incredibly clear-cut chances, I think bodes well for where we are. And we're probably, hopefully, I guess I'm saying this silver linings, but on the precipice of scoring a bunch of goals against Panama, we're going to take it out on them. But we'll have to wait and see, obviously. And I just want to say, everybody, we're trying to give away a Paramount Plus gift card, $100. That will take care of a full year. Anything else, extra stuff you guys want on that? I mean, it's just going to take care of you guys. But we need your handles. If you want to have a chance to win this $100 gift card from Paramount Plus, then we got to have your handles, your social media handles, in the comment section right now, so you can be entered to win. Anybody, just put a handle in. You have a good chance to win because nobody else is doing it. So make it happen right now. We're trying to give away free money and we want to give it to you. So make that happen because we love the people that support us. And we want you to love us too by giving away free stuff. That's all, we buy your love. We're buying your love, everybody.
There's no free lunch. You know, we'll do whatever it takes. You know, we'll do whatever
we just want to grow this. But we want to make sure that we show you guys the love and adoration that you're showing us as we continue to give you the good stuff here on In Soccer We Trust. Make sure you follow us on Twitter as well, ISWT Pod, and follow me and Heath Pierce on the Twitters or any other platforms as well. Now, Heath and everybody listening, if you want to let us know, hit us up on Twitter later if you're listening to this in podcast form, if you're watching right now. What would you give the team's performance out of 10? Keith Pierce, what's your rating? Because you and I talk a lot. Like, if you have enough players playing at a 7 or 8 out of 10, you're probably going to get a result out of that game. What would you give this team?
I'd probably say a 7.
Okay,
seven. I would say it balances out at a 7 in terms of, like, I thought we did some things in the 9s and 10s in terms of our approach, in terms of not giving up a lot of chances, in terms of willingness to compete and not be fearful in the match. Mm-hmm, I thought some of those were closer to 9, 10. I thought the execution obviously is a little bit on the lower end. So I'd say it averages out in total. If I were to put those into like categories, I'd say it was just enough to get a drop, certainly enough to get potentially 3 points. But when you look at the flow of play, the rhythm of the game, it reminded me a lot of one of those games, Jimmy, and maybe you remember a couple specifically where you leave the game not feeling like you played particularly well or playing at your best, and you don't feel like all that stimulated in terms of the style of play in which we played, and wasn't beautiful, but you knew that there was probably 3 points there. Or in usual way qualifiers, you're like, man, we did not play great, but we left with all 3 points. It could have been that, or kind of a smash and grab job where discipline, fight, you know, allow Mexico to be a little bit more exposed. You get a few of your moments there. So maybe I'm kind of under kind of rating them, and an 8 would probably be a lot better. It's a very tough place to play, regardless of how the U.S. made it look today. What's your number?
It's I'm probably leaning more towards 7.5 or 8. Like Will said, that was probably our best away performance so far in qualifying against El Salvador. Remember the first game? Not so great. Against Honduras, I would say that the first half against Honduras was an absolute dumpster fire. The second half was fantastic, right? That was probably our best half. Maybe of all of qualifying was that second half.
I still have that video you sent me, Jimmy, where you were chanting Berhalter out during that first half of that Honduras
game. Dude, we were like, that was crazy. We were so frustrated. But in the second half, obviously we turned it around. But in terms of a complete performance, this is probably from minute one to the end, our best away performance. So I probably lean towards an 8. And for the reasons that you mentioned as well, in the intangibles, one of the things that I went on HQ and talked about before the game was, I don't want us to be timid. I put it on my Twitter as well. I just don't want us to play timidly. Go out there and like shoulders back, head up. Don't get rattled by anything. Play with confidence. Like that's will make me proud of just don't play with any fear. Just go out there and be yourselves. And if that's what I was coaching, that's what, like, some of the last words I would say to the guys before they walked out and out of the locker room. Just don't play with any fear. Go out there and be yourselves. And I thought we did that. I thought we were proactive. I thought, I really love the line that we held. I'm actually going to text Walker Zimmerman tomorrow once everything dies down and he gets back.
Like, tell him I said hi. Tell him
I will. I said that line that you held with Miles was great. You know, you didn't drop needlessly. You didn't have to drop to drop. And I thought the spacing between the lines was great. So these little things that I really appreciate kind of tipped it over. And we created two unbelievable chances, maybe better chances that I've seen us create at Azteca in some time. I mean, the last time we scored there in a World Cup qualifier was Michael Bradley having to chip Memo Ochoa from like 30 yards because he just did an excellent job of reading the pass and having the wherewithal to do that. But outside of creating clear-cut chances, we don't get that very often.
Yeah.
And so the fact that we created one per half, you got to take it. So, yes, well, I mean, Jimmy, it's kind
of
like
– people are pretty critical of our number right now, by the way. You know, I'm talking about the golden generation, the quality that we have. It just felt like a quintessential national team.
It's that second.
Away. But we should have won. They were saying that you can't miss two big chances like that.
I get that. So listen, if we would have won, I would have given it a 10. But since we missed two chances, I'm taking one off for each chance. That's
It's just a simple, simple math.
I said seven and a half or eight.
Your algorithm is very one-dimensional, Jimmy, but at least it's easy to understand. You know. I think the criticism is fair. And I don't want us to default back into like, work hard, fight hard away from home, and that's good enough for the national team. Like, I do think.
Well, you have to have some of that.
More. But like, you have to have, like, yeah, that's have the foundation.
That's
if
course.
If you put this in the context and you go back to 2018, we didn't have that anymore in 2018. That was missing. That was a big part culturally missing from the national team of what it takes to get results away from home and at home. And just there's a different fight mentality. This team seems to have that fight, a little bit of that chip on their shoulder of like, hey, we're going to carry the weight of all this in tough times. Now, that's not always going to come, and it was a game of moments. Those two moments go the other way. That's got, like, Pulisic missing that chance got nothing to do with Tyler Adams, got nothing to do with Zach Steffen, it's got nothing to do with the other team, but the team continued to keep them in the game. That could be a swing moment when you miss that. Where people go, dude, I'm out of breath. I'm doing all this work for this guy. He gets his chance. He doesn't finish it. I'm going to have my head down. I'm going to start doing my own thing, and they didn't have that. Like, there was a solid performance that came out in that we can be critical of because whatever, but again, look at this. Look at the context of this. People still want Greg Berhalter out, and I don't. That's three Mexico wins and a draw at Azteca. Like, you want a sample size. That's about as big of a sample size as you're going to get from a coach being able to match up. And you might like the way he plays or the players that he plays or how much he rotates, but somehow they were well-programmed and well
– You can't fire a guy right now. You can't fire a guy. Right. And as Dan says, we would have taken 4 points. If we could have said before qualifying, we're going to take 4 points away from 4 points from Mexico, we 1,000% take it. So we are right where we should be, or where we want to be with Mexico. It's just dropping points to the other ones.
Did you have a standout player, Jimmy?
I don't know. Man of the match. Let's go man of the match, everybody. What are we saying in this? It's a tough one. Is there one player that I thought I really liked Timo Weah's 60-minute shift? I thought he did some good things and there's little things that I appreciate about his game. I was kind of wowing over Yunus Musa because he hit this, honestly, this is so geeky of me to say, but he hit this like 50-yard switch across the field with his weak foot.
Yeah.
Like 5 minutes into the game, I was like, God damn, this guy can do it all. He's only 19. Let's go, Yunus Musa. I just inject all of his energy into my veins. That guy's so talented. Now he all then got on his weak foot for a shot and didn't do anything with it and kind of pushed it. But I like Yunus Musa. That's a tough one. I don't know if there's any out-and-out clear-cut choices for this. I mean, when Gio Reyna came on, it was clear that he's a top player and we want him back on the field and playing as much as possible. And I thought his energy kind of changed our dynamic going forward because we took Weah off and we took off.
For both teams, though, would you give it to Chucky as the best player on the field
today?
Chucky
was very dangerous. Yeah. I don't know how many shots that Chucky
had. But he didn't score. Like, how is it that we're going to be like, hey, we're gonna be critical of the U.S. for not scoring their chances, but Chucky didn't score.
I mean, Gio, let's just say it like this. If you said Gio, even though he came on as a super sub, he did create the Jordan. I mean, he made a great run to the back post to get on the end of a cross that he headed back to Jordan Pifolk on a goddamn platter. Mm-hmm. And you got to be – fucking kidding me that he missed that. You like that?
That was good. Man, you held that almost for an hour, dude. Wow.
I did.
You're like, work this in.
That is fucking ridiculous. You know what I mean? Unbelievable. Yeah.
That's well done. I mean, there's a shout there from Justin for Jedi Men of the Match. You know, there's a couple
Jedi was solid
in there. I like the Yunus Musa shout. I like Tyler Adams, solid. I like
it's tough. You know, I mean, everybody was solid. You had a good
But this is again why we're going with that 7 or 8 because there wasn't anybody. You could say maybe Yedlin, but you're like, dude, if I was a right fullback and I had to match up against Chucky Lozano for 90 minutes or however many minutes, and I got out of that where he had a few half chances where he drove inside. That to me is a pretty good. I had Gio Dos Santos on my side, right? And Gio only wanted to drive inside. So you get him and he takes you on the left. Yeah, right, and as soon as you block him to go to the line, he can drive back to his right. And I remember being like, this is my mission today is not about like, how can I'll support in the attack. I'll pick and choose my moments to go forward and I'll try to have an impact there. But my impact is making his life as difficult as possible, right? And drive him into traffic, disrupt things. And when I did that, even though in the Dos Acero in 2009, he had a chance right at the beginning of the game. Tim Howard made a huge save. We go on to win the game. It was a game of moments, right? They could have turned it at that point as well. Those moments happened, but I still left that game and kind of excited at my performance, thinking like, wow, I did a pretty good job. This is a guy that at the time was playing, I believe, still at Barcelona, and a fantastic player that I was just like, yeah, this guy has the ability on his best day to kill anybody he runs at in the world. And I still matched up with him. So the Yedlin thing, I think, is tough to always assume that our fullbacks should dominate anybody that they play against. Like Chucky Lozano is a really special player.
He is. And I thought actually this is one of his better performances. I just thought he was dangerous. I thought he was engaged. Sometimes you see Chucky Lozano and you might see him early on and then you don't see him for 20 minutes. You're like, is Chucky Lozano playing? But I thought tonight, every time they went forward, he was in and around the ball, whether he was actually the one touching it or he was making a run in behind or whatever. I thought he was really dangerous tonight. And that's the version of Chucky Lozano they need if they're going to have any success qualifying. And of course, once they get into the World Cup themselves. And I think it's funny about the Berhalter out thing. Like, we're not going to fire the guy right now. Tata Martino, for all Mexican national team fans, they're not going to fire Tata Martino at this point. You know, even if he lost to us for 4 consecutive times in a calendar year or over 12 months. It's still, you're not going to, it doesn't make any sense to have that type of chaos and upheaval within a team as you've already developed all this culture and have set so much foundation stuff, as you mentioned before. Mm-hmm. So I find that, you know, it gets be kind of a, like a meme, like Wenger out type stuff. One last question for you, Heath, before I let you go. Do you think Memo Ochoa maybe was the man of the match because of he had some saves, whether Christian Pulisic put it right at him or not, he still anticipated where it was going to go. And then he made a good hand tip save on Pulisic, you know, early in the second half as well. I mean, I'm trying to figure out. I don't know if there was really one person.
There's a solid shout for that, I think. I'm not against, like, I wouldn't argue against if somebody was, like, passionate about that. I would say that you definitely had an argument. I mean, that's the thing about a 0-0 draw. It required saves.
Right.
You had people that kind of fall out. Fall out of the opportunities that they have. You know, you have some people that were just solid performances, you know, that we're not going to mention them in this recap because they weren't good, they weren't bad, but they did their job and they played for the U.S. specifically away from home at Azteca and didn't get skinned and burned. I've seen a lot of U.S.-Mexico games where you are on just pins and needles the entire game because Mexico is bombing at you from all angles, all corners, and you're just hoping to survive and get them out of rhythm. You know, we go back to Nations League, and even in extra time, it was still like that. I thought we've done a good job tonight. And Ochoa should get a shout for sure.
Okay,
that's all I wanted to ask. All right, everybody, I got the megaphone out, which means we've come to the end of In Soccer We Trust, this podcast.
Now, I want to make sure that everybody knows, because you're watching this on YouTube doesn't mean it's not a podcast. So if you miss it live when we go live, you can find it on any of your audio platforms that you want. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, CastBox, wherever you like to listen to your podcast. Please leave us a glowing review if you have some time while you're listening. Hit subscribe, of course. And if you're watching on YouTube, well, hit that subscribe button. Keep those likes coming. And we'll see you guys tomorrow, 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. We are going to break down Sunday's crunch game versus Panama. And
I didn't want to have to say this, Jimmy, but it's the biggest game in U.S. soccer history, just so you guys know. So you might want to tune in.
I don't want to put pressure on anybody, but
it's the biggest game ever. So you want to go to the biggest preview ever.
And we might not have like 3 of our top starting right backs. We got to call in Shaq Moore starting this one.
And that just levels up the pressure.
But I'm here for it. That's what it's about. When you're a kid growing up, you want to play in the biggest games, and we got some biggest games coming up, and that's what you have to do to qualify for a World Cup. So thank you for listening to In Soccer We Trust and watching, of course, on behalf of producer Dez, producer Alex, and Hollywood Keith Pierce. I'm Jimmy Conrad saying we salute you,
and we'll see you next time. Later.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.